Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 5 and go through the end. And this is going to move fast, so put on your listening ears, saints. Let me say this as we get started here. The world needs more table-flipping preachers like Jesus. The world needs bold men of God who preach out of a crucified life in the holy fear of the living God. Table-flipping preachers is what we need, saints. Got an article or post, I should say, on the website safeguardyoursoul.com, and it's called, "Who Else is Tired of Wimpy Preachers?" Just go to the search box and put in the word wimpy. When Jesus preached, things happened. Lives were changed forever. When Jesus is truly preaching in and through a man, there is divine authority, which brings conviction and blessings to those who are humble, teachable, and repentant. And it scatters the counterfeits, who are those who heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and are turned away from the truth unto fable. Notice the key there is they have itching ears. In other words, they're unrepentant in heart. They won't repent. So they want to be coddled in their sins, and they don't want to be rebuked and delivered from them and experience the blessing of God, which only comes when we repent. Then we're refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The end of Matthew 7, the longest recorded sermon of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5, verse 1 of Matthew, and spans the end of Matthew 7. The last two verses in that recorded sermon, it says this: "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them," listen to this, "for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now, there's a lot in that. We're not going to try to break it down. But notice, Jesus had his Father's authority. And so do we, as we're in Christ, truly crucified with him, not only positionally, but practically and presently crucified with him. And that is something that we are to humble ourselves and submit to, the cross daily. God only uses crucified
men.
"For he taught them," it says, "as one having authority," notice the contrast, "and not as the scribes." You ever notice we've got a lot of scribes today? They don't have any authority when they preach. They don't have any divine authority to move men and to shake men to the core of their being with divine rebuke, calling them to repent. Many a false preacher, saints, is breathing hope. Yeah, breathing hope into unrepentant sinners who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. They're breathing hope into them instead of calling them to repent. People don't even know they need hope, real hope, till they've been preached 6 foot under and have only one direction to look, and that's upward. The preaching of the law and the cross is to drive sinful men to repentance before a holy God. How shall they hear without this kind of preacher? How shall they fall upon the mercy of God invested in Christ's cross if they've never had the sharp sword of the law preached to them, finding them undone in sin before a holy God who will judge every one of us and cast all rebels into the lake of fire? Tell me, where are the Elijahs of today? False preachers speak and operate as to please mere sinful men in order to get them to patronize their church businesses. And every false preacher is promised by God, false prophet, false teacher, will have damnation, quote unquote. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3. Mark that. There's no such thing as a false teacher, a heretic, in eternal glory. God takes it personal when we misrepresent him by teaching contrary to his word. The world, again, needs more table-flipping preachers like Christ and the apostles. Wolves are known in that they don't feed sheep. They don't rebuke sheep. No, they entertain goats. Now, I want to ask you this, beloved, as you're listening. Are you enduring sound doctrine, or do you run from men who preach the full counsel of God's word with no respect of persons and lovingly? The Lord loves us, so he brings through those men. It's not their judgment, it's not their word, it's his word. But he brings his judgment on the sin in our lives through these crucified men. They're very few and far between in the realm of preachers today. Now, we're going to start in Ephesians 6, verse 5, and we're going to finish this book. It's been a fabulous go. You can listen to it, find it on the Ephesians category. We recorded most of these, or all of these messages, and they've been amazing. And this isn't exhaustive at all. It never was meant to be. No Bible study is actually, anybody telling you their Bible study is exhaustive, boy, is lying to you. But it does whet your appetite to dig deeper, maybe shine the light of the Spirit on some of the truth in Ephesians. Notice verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Servants, dealing with employees. How many people are employees? And that's who he's talking to, employees. Be obedient to them that are your masters, your bosses, according to the flesh. Now, you know, believers should be the best employees on the planet. They should show forth the love of Christ. In fact, many people have been saved because they worked with or even were the boss over believers and their meekness. God can use you in such a mighty way. You know, so many times we hear people complain about bosses that are difficult. Let me tell you, I understand that. We all do. But how much more of a great opportunity, because those people that are mean and difficult to deal with, they know who they are. And how much more of an opportunity is it to reach them by the meekness of Christ in our life, walking in love, not taking offense, doing what they ask us to do within the realm of truth. So servants or Christian employees he's addressing here should be the best employees and exemplary across the board of any employees there are. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. You're doing and living as unto Christ, not as unto man. Where there is a true disciple, his life is affected in every way, including how good of an employee he is, by his true, authentic worship of God and relationship with him. Remember, this book, Ephesians, is summed up in this order through the six chapters: worship, walk, and warfare. We're still in the walk part of it here. F.B. Meyer writes this about children and parents, which are addressed in the first few verses, 1 through 4, which Brother David covered last week. Children and parents, servants and masters. In other words, employees and bosses. And he writes this, where our religion is true, it will affect every relationship in life, including being an employee, a worker. The love of Christ must find its manifestation in nursery and in kitchen, in workshop, and in municipal chamber. But notice that its duties are reciprocal. We must give on our side just as we expect others to give on theirs. The first duty of children is obedience, and so is the same for employees. We're all under some authority, amen? And God is the author of that authority, Romans 13. They must be taught, children and employees, to obey because it is right, and their conscience bears witness to the rightness. Never plead with a child to do what is right, nor bribe it by reward. Take your stand on the primeval sense of right and wrong, which is the foundation of morals and will be the stay of the child's whole afterlife when once its supremacy is established. But parents should help their children by removing irritation or passion from their own speech. Don't provoke your children to wrath, it says in verse 1 through 4. Fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. Slaves formed a large proportion of the early church. Their obedience must be explicit. And they were taught to believe. Now, are we not bond slaves of Christ? And they were taught to believe that Christ took their faithful service to their earthly owner as service to himself. We serve others as unto the Lord. I love to say ABS, Brother David. Always be serving. Contribute. Always be assertive and proactive and looking for that next opportunity to quietly jump in and demonstrate the love of Christ by serving as unto the Lord. If there's kitchen and there's dirty dishes, get in there and wash them, man. There's a lawn that needs to be cut, get out there and do it. Praising the Lord and do it as unto God. That's one of the most powerful witnesses to lead people to Christ and saints closer to Christ. But he writes finally, but masters must ever deal with their servants as liable to be called to the account by the great master of all. In other words, all bosses will give account to God, all that are in authority, for what they did concerning those that they led. The center of all authority is Christ, and he will demand an account of our treatment of every servant he has sent into our homes, unquote. Now, he says in verse 6 that concerning being an employee, a servant, we're not to serve with eye service or merely while they're looking as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. God is seeing, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees all. He sees the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. He sees it when we're not doing the job we're being paid for those who have hired us, even when they're not looking. Notice, doing the will of God from the heart. God, make us authentically whole and authentically yours in heart. Amen. That's a good prayer. Verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, working for people or someone is one of the real proving grounds as far as who we are. And if you're like me, you got a lot of stuff that needed to and still needs to be worked out of you. And so these are tests to see if you're going to be faithful with the least, and therefore God can make you ruler over much. God is not going to promote you, according to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, to the next level of responsibility if you're not responsible and godly before him in the present season that he has you in. Mm-hmm. That's a simple biblical truth that must be a cornerstone in our lives. God wants us to be faithful right where we are. Somebody says, well, I want to be in leadership. Well, good. Serve the leaders, the under-shepherds you're around right now. And I'm not talking about washing toilets in some church building. No, that's not serving God. Serve them by praying for them, by supporting them in many ways. Any way that they really, you know, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, that was something they needed because they walked on the ground and their feet got dirty. Do something that really counts and matters for people. Verse 8, Ephesians 6, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, here now he turns to the bosses. First he talked to the servants, the employees. Now he says, and you masters or bosses, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. God's watching you, sir, if you're in authority, in your family or at work or in any situation. Neither, he says, is there respect of persons with God.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.